السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أحب الأعمال إلى الله أدومها وإن قل، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى has sent us into this world to obey him. He has sent us into this world to please him, to obey him, to be his servants. And in reality, this is what worship and ibadah means. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The jinn and the humans, we have only created them to worship us. Now when you and I say worship, what comes to mind? Reciting lots of Quran comes to mind. Doing lots of dhikr comes to mind. Praying lots of salah comes to mind. Worshipping Allah Ta'ala, the most important part of worshipping Allah Ta'ala is obeying Allah Ta'ala and staying away from His disobedience. If you and I, we are reciting a lot of the Quran, we are doing a lot of nawafil, we are doing a lot of dhikr, we are reading a lot of Islamic literature, we are going out for tabligh jamaat, going in the path of Allah, Allah. But we are not trying to make our lives free of the disobedience of Allah. Then in reality, we have not understood the purpose of our life. The purpose of our life is to worship Allah. But worshipping Allah means emptying your life of the disobedience of Allah. And anything which you do on top of that is a bonus. So, for example, the 5 times salah is compulsory, it is fard. Now, if I don't perform the Fajr salah, I will be disobeying Allah. So I must perform the Fajr salah. Now, after the Fajr salah, so performing the Fajr salah is must. For me to be a worshipper of Allah Ta'ala, which is the purpose of my life, which is why Allah Ta'ala has created me, I must perform my Fajr Salah. If I do not perform my Fajr Salah, I am not fulfilling the purpose of my life. Now, if after the Fajr Salah, I sit in my place and I recite Tasbihat, I recite the Quran, I recite Surah Yasin until sunrise, until a few minutes, 10, 15 minutes after sunrise, and then I perform the Ishraq Salah, this is a bonus. This is very beneficial also. But this is a bonus. Because if you didn't do that, if you went home straight after the Fajr Salah, you went to sleep straight after the Fajr Salah again, or you went to work, then you would not be sinful. So this is a bonus. But the Fajr Salah is the must. So staying away from the disobedience of Allah is the most important part of worshipping Him. And until my life is not free of the disobedience of Allah, I should not rest thinking that, oh, I am a very good Muslim, I am worshipping Allah Ta'ala. No. Worship means the staying away from the disobedience of Allah. And is it me that is saying it? No, it is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that said this. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said to him, that Ya Abu Huraira, Ya Abu Huraira, O Abu Huraira, ittaqil maharim, stay away from the disobedience of Allah. Maharim, those things which Allah ta'ala has forbidden. What has Allah ta'ala forbidden? Everything that is haram. Everything that is makruh tahrimi. And leaving out a farz, this is something Allah ta'ala has forbidden. Leaving out a wajib, this is something Allah ta'ala has forbidden. So stay away from the forbidden things of Allah ta'ala. And takun a'bada an-nas. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Huraira that stay away from the forbidden things of Allah ta'ala. And he didn't tell him you will become a worshipper. He told him takun a'bada an-nas, you will become the biggest worshipper from the people. In the eyes of Allah, the biggest worshipper is not the person who spends the most time in the masjid, the most time in salah, the person who spends, who wakes up in the night and performs tahajjud salah as well. In the eyes of Allah ta'ala, the biggest worshipper is the one whose life is most empty of his disobedience. Yes, if there are two people, both of their lives is empty of the disobedience of Allah, and one of them is doing extra, he is waking up at night for the tahajjud salah as well, he is reciting extra tilawat of the Quran, then he will be a bigger worshipper. But both of them are very great worshippers. So, this, the purpose of our life is ibadah worship. And worship means staying away from the disobedience of Allah. So we must make it a purpose that my life needs to be empty of the disobedience of Allah. I cannot rest in peace until my life is empty of the disobedience of Allah. Yes, a human is a human, so he slips up from time to time. But there should be, if there is a sin which has become a habit in my life, then I need to get rid of it. It is going against the very purpose of my creation. So I must make this an aim. That no, there must be no sin. Yes, no sin in my life. No habitual sin in my life. You know what the word Muslim means? Muslim means one who has accepted Islam. And you know what Islam means literally in the Arabic language? Islam means submission. And what does submission mean? Giving yourself up totally to someone. Do whatever you say, I am ready to do it. This is what submission is. So a Muslim is someone who has submitted to Allah Ta'ala, that do whatever command whatever you wish, I am ready to do it. Prohibit whatever you wish, I am ready to stay away from it. A Muslim, my friends, my brothers, doesn't plan the disobedience of Allah. No Muslim should ever plan the disobedience of Allah. How does a Muslim end up in the disobedience of Allah? He slips, shaitan overcomes him. He wasn't planning. So he went outside, he wasn't planning to misuse his gaze. His plan was that I am not going to misuse my gaze. And shaitan overcame and he ended up misusing his game. His plan was, no, I am going to perform my 5 times salah. I am going to perform my fajr salah. I am going to wake up. And shaitan overcame him. A Muslim doesn't plan to disobey Allah that tomorrow I will go to the cinema and watch this movie. Or tomorrow so we will go out with our friends and we will commit this sinful act. This Muslim is going against the very word Muslim and the very word Islam. By planning the disobedience of Allah. And a person should never ever plan the disobedience of Allah with this thought in mind, that I will repent to Allah Ta'ala afterwards. This thought is from shaitan, that I will carry out the disobedience of Allah and then I will repent to Allah Ta'ala afterwards so that the sin will be washed away. Why? Because I will carry out this sin, then I will repent to Allah Ta'ala. How do I know I will get the tawfiq to repent to Allah Ta'ala afterwards? Every sin creates a black dot on your heart. This is mentioned in the hadith. What does this mean? This is not talking about the physical heart. Every person as well as a physical heart, I am explaining this in simple words. Every person as well as a physical heart, he has something which we can term as a spiritual heart.
And just as the physical heart is vital for the body to stay alive and kicking, the spiritual heart is vital for your deen to stay alive and kicking. If your spiritual, if your physical heart becomes weak, your body becomes weak. You are not able to exert yourself as much as you should. A small amount of activity makes you very tired. Similarly, if your spiritual heart is weak, staying away from the disobedience of Allah becomes very difficult. Carrying out good deeds becomes very difficult. So every person has something called a spiritual heart, upon which his whole deen is dependent upon. Allah inna fil jasadi mudghah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Allah means listen very carefully. What I am about to say is very important, so listen very carefully. He said, Allah inna fil jasadi mudghah. In the body there is a piece of flesh. Is that saluhat? When it becomes healthy. Saluhat il jasadi kullu, the whole body becomes healthy. Wa idha fasadat, when it becomes unhealthy. Fasadat il jasadi kullu, the whole body becomes unhealthy. Allah, listen very carefully. Which part of the body is it? Is it? وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ, it is the heart. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not your GP or he was not telling you about, his job was not to tell us about physical health. He was telling us about spiritual health. That there is a part of the body, when it becomes spiritually healthy, the whole body becomes spiritually healthy. What does that mean? If the heart becomes spiritually healthy, then the eyes will become spiritually healthy. That means they will not disobey Allah, they will only obey Allah. The hands will become spiritually healthy, that means they will not disobey Allah, they will only obey Allah. The tongue will become spiritually healthy, that means it will not disobey Allah, it will not lie, it will not carry out ghibah, it will not insult anyone, it will only obey Allah Ta'ala. So, the heart is very important. And what is mentioned in the hadith, that when you disobey Allah Ta'ala once, then a black dot is created on the heart. What does this mean? This means that the noor of the heart decreases slightly. Blackness, darkness, the opposite of noor. Here we are talking about, like I said, something spiritual. It is not the case that if you open the body, you will see a black dot there. It is something spiritual. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying his best to explain it to us. That when you sin, a black dot, darkness is created in your heart, spiritual darkness. That means this heart has become a little bit weaker. It is a gradual effect. You sin again, the heart has become a little bit weaker. When you repent, this dot gets washed away. That is why it is so important to repent. A person should never have this mindset that, I know I will disobey Allah Ta'ala anyway. I try my best, but I will disobey Allah Ta'ala anyway. So what's the point of repenting? No. The benefit of repenting is that first black dot was washed away. You missed your Fajr Salah today. So you think, what is the point of repenting? I know I will not be able to wake up tomorrow and perform my Fajr Salah. No. If you have this attitude, then there is already one black dot on your heart because of Fajr Salah being missed today. When it is missed tomorrow, another black dot will join. Third will join, and before long, your heart will become so weak that you will even stop worrying about missing the Fajr Salah. And on the other hand, if you repent, that black dot will be removed. The Fajr Salah of the next day, if you miss it again, and you repent again, that black dot will be removed. So your heart will not become spiritually weaker. It will remain as it is. And inshallah, whilst your heart remains as it is, that worry for Fajr will remain, and sooner or later Fajr will come into your life, inshallah. This is just an example applied to any form of the obedience and disobedience of Allah. So when we sin, a black dot is created in our heart. And when we repent, the black dot is washed away. So, if I have this mentality, that I will disobey Allah Ta'ala, and then I will repent afterwards, it doesn't matter. Then who knows, because of that black dot which is created on my heart because of my sin, my heart becomes so spiritually weak that I am not given the tawfiq to repent. That is possible. In the incident of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, the incident is very long. The Quran covers it in a whole surah, which is almost half a juz, if not more. But The gist of the incident, which I wish to mention here, is that Yusuf alayhi salam is young, but despite being younger than the rest of his brothers, he was very talented. And his father realized, Yaqub alayhi salam realized he is very talented. So he paid a lot of attention to him, gave him a lot of love. So the rest of the brothers, the elder brothers, 11 of them there were, they became jealous. That the father is paying more attention to him than us. So they made a plan. This jealousy overcame them and they made a plan. Uqtulu Yusuf, kill Yusuf. Make some plan and kill Yusuf. أَوْ اِطْرَحُوهُ أَرْضًا Or throw him, take him and leave him in some faraway land where either he will perish or someone else will grab him and take him or to make him a slave or something. What will happen? يَخْلُ لَكُمْ وَجْهُ أَبِيكُمْ Your father's attention will become solely for you. There will be no Yusuf left. And what about the great sin involved in killing an innocent person, in getting rid of him? وَتَكُونُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ قَوْمٍ صَالِحِينَ After that, you can become pious. In the mashwara, the consultation, the plotting, this, the Yaqub alayhi salam, their father was a prophet. So they had to worry about deen, but jealousy had overcame them. So they had to worry about deen, so the thought did come to the mind that it is a great sin. But how did shaitan deceive them? He told them, repent afterwards and become pious. وَتَكُونُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ قَوْمٍ صَالِحِينَ This was the plan. And through this thought, shaitan made them try to get rid of Yusuf. It is a different matter that one of the brothers was a bit more lenient, he was a bit softer. So he interceded, so they didn't kill Yusuf alayhi salam. They basically took him somewhere far away, distant. But after this incident happened, they didn't get the tawfiq to repent immediately. The plan was to repent immediately. But they didn't get the tawfiq to repent immediately. When did they get the tawfiq to repent? 40 years later, when they met Yusuf alayhi salam again. And Yusuf alayhi salam said, do you remember what you did to me 40 years ago? Then they became embarrassed and out of embarrassment they repented. So, a person shouldn't have this thought that, I will repent after this is possible. The sin, the effect of the sin is that the tawfiq to repent is snatched away. And it is also possible that before you manage to repent, you pass away. A person does not know when he is going to pass away. So, a person should never have this attitude that I will repent, I will commit the sin, then I will repent. No. A Muslim never ever plans the disobedience of Allah. He falls for it. His desires, his nafs overcome him. Shaitan overcomes him. And when this happens, then he repents immediately when he realizes. So this is endeavor of ours is the most important part of our life. If this purpose is lost from our mind, then the purpose of our creation is lost from our minds. But today what I wish to mention, although alhamdulillah we have covered many beneficial points already, today what I wish to mention is that there are some things which will aid us in this task. Some things which will make staying away from the disobedience of Allah easier. Some things which will give us this, which will increase our willpower and our ability to overcome it. To overcome the temptation to stay away from the disobedience of Allah. And remember this, my friends. Any form of the disobedience of Allah which has become a habit, when you decide that I'm going to leave it, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm not going to miss my salah anymore. I'm not going to watch any films anymore. I'm not going to misuse my gaze anymore. Then, when you first decide, then the first time to stay away will be the hardest. The first few days, the first few weeks, staying away will be the hardest. Controlling yourself will be the hardest. Because habit set in. And in those first few days, it will seem like this is impossible. And this is partly because shaitan will create this as well. Shaitan, Allah Ta'ala hasn't given shaitan the ability to force you to do anything. There is no sin regarding which you can say, shaitan forced me. In fact, shaitan will say on the day of judgment, when those people who listen to shaitan's whispers, they will have a conversation with shaitan. And you know what shaitan will say? وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ. Shaitan knows he is going to Jahannam. He knows he is going to Jahannam. But this last opportunity he will take to taunt this person. That I am going to Jahannam, but I managed to mislead you as well. He will say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ. Allah Ta'ala gave you a true promise. The true promise was, you control your desires. You give his obedience, his will preference. And he will grant you Jannah. He will grant you peace and comfort in this world. Allah Ta'ala give you a true promise. وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. And I give you a false promise. False promise? Follow your desires. You will enjoy yourself. I made it look like there is nothing wrong with it. Enjoy yourself. Shaitan knows he is going to Jahannam. But he will take he has so much hatred for mankind that he is going to Jahannam, and he has already misled this person to Jahannam. But the last opportunity he will take to taunt this person. That Allah Ta'ala gave me a true promise to you, and I made a false promise to you. And then shaitan will say, وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانِ. I didn't have any ability to force you. إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ. I just invited you. فَاسْتَجَمْتُمْلِي. And you accepted the invitation. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي. So don't blame me. وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Blame yourself. So shaitan does not have the ability to force us to do anything. But Allah Ta'ala, to test us, has given shaitan certain abilities. Shaitan, what can he do? He can, to a certain degree, influence our mindset. He can make it look like something is more difficult than it is. Shaitan does have this ability. He can whisper to us that, no, this is very difficult, you will never manage this. This, you will never get rid of this sin. Shaitan does have this ability. And Allah Ta'ala has given this ability to shaitan through his wisdom to test us. So, when we initially decide that I want to stay away from this form of the disobedience of Allah, then it will look very difficult. And like I said, part of this is because it is a habit which has set in. And the second reason is because shaitan is adding, he is adding an effect. Shaitan, if I was to summarize the effect of shaitan, what can he do? He can adorn things. He can adorn the disobedience of Allah. Make it look more difficult than it is. Make it look more attractive. That is why that person who, when we try to stay away from the disobedience of Allah, but we sleep and we end up doing it. My intention was, but I ended up watching this movie. Then before watching this movie, that movie seems very attractive, that I will enjoy it a lot. Or before misusing my gaze, before looking at that filthy picture, the thought was that I will enjoy myself a lot. And after you have fulfilled your desire, then you think it wasn't worth it. The thought afterwards will always be that it wasn't worth it. It didn't look as enjoy. Before I carried it out, it was like, I will enjoy it so much. And afterwards, it wasn't worth it. Why is that? Because before you did the sin, shaitan was influencing you. So he may adorn the sin. He made it look more beautiful and more attractive than it is. After you did it, shaitan is no longer bothering to adorn it. He has done his job. He has left you in the hole. So he goes and you realize the reality of the sin. So when you first try to stay away from the sin, then it will feel very difficult. But this is the most important. A person has to force himself. And if he slips, he has to repent to Allah Ta'ala and restart. And once he gets through that initial period, maybe it will be a few days, maybe it will be a few weeks, maybe it will be a few, then inshallah, it will become easier and easier and easier. It doesn't get more difficult, it gets easier and easier and easier. It is just that initial rough patch. But what I wish to mention today is that there are some things which, and I will mention this in brief because alhamdulillah, although we haven't come to the initial point, we have mentioned many points of benefit today, that there are some things which will help us in this battle. There are aids. The most important thing is we must try and force ourselves. These are aids. But these are aids if we do them continuously and regularly. And aids, the things that will help us are, in summary, three things. Or let us call it four things. But the number four is in reality part of one of the first three. But let me make it a separate point. There are four things. The most simple thing we will mention, first dua. Asking Allah Ta'ala for help. This is one of the things that will aid us in the task. Repeatedly, regularly. Every day. When a person knows that the opportunity to sin is going to come. For example, he knows that when I go to work, then I end up misusing my gaze. So before he goes to work, he makes dua to Allah Ta'ala. And look, making dua to Allah Ta'ala, ideally, it is on the musalla, with wudu, facing the qibla with his hands up. But these are all things which are etiquettes. So if a person gets a chance to do it, he should do it. If he is in the masjid and he is sitting down, then he should raise his hands. He should face. But these are all not necessary. Dua can be done whilst you are walking as well. For dua, you don't even need words. For Allah Ta'ala, what we say and the thoughts in our mind, they are both very clear. So, I am on the way to work. Whilst I am on the way to work, I can make dua to Allah Ta'ala in my mind. Look, I am going to work. I know that I often slip. In misusing my gaze, Allah give me the tawfiq to misuse my gaze. Why? Before we are going to sleep, oh Allah, I always find it difficult to wake up for the Fajr Salah. Give me the tawfiq to wake up for the Fajr Salah. A person should try to, in fact, stay connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time through dua. Whatever task you are going to do ahead, worldly or dini, oh Allah help me in this task. But especially dini task, oh Allah help me in this task. Oh Allah help me to perform my salah. This is the first and most important, one of the most important things, dua. This is one. And we will mention 2 points out of the four. This must be done regularly. Keep making dua. Don't think Allah Ta'ala will not accept my dua. No, keep making dua. One of the conditions of making dua to be accepted is that a servant doesn't have this mindset that after a certain amount of time he thinks that I've made dua a lot, but Allah Ta'ala will not accept it. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a servant has this mentality, then Allah Ta'ala will not accept his dua. A servant should have this mentality that I will keep making dua to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will accept it sooner or later. This is the first thing. The second thing is that he should keep remembering the hereafter. He should keep remembering the hereafter. Keep the hereafter in mind. Keep his own death in mind. Keep in mind the thought that I will believe in this world. Try to bring this thought into my mind that I don't want to disobey Allah Ta'ala, because what if I die while I am disobeying Allah Ta'ala? It is possible, maybe I am 25, maybe I am 15, but death doesn't discriminate that it only over 50 I will take. No, death can come when a person is 15, and death can come when a person is 50. So, this is the second thing. That a person, he should bring this thought with regularity on a daily basis. That I don't want to disobey Allah Ta'ala, because it is possible if I today, the moment I disobey Allah Ta'ala, that is the moment my soul will be taken. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, يُبْعَثُ كُلُّ عَبْدٍ عَلَى مَا مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ. Every person will be resurrected in the condition he passes away in. What does this mean? The ulama have said this means that exactly the deed he was doing as he passed away, he will be resurrected doing that deed on the day of judgment. So if a person passed away in salah, on the day of judgment, he will be resurrected in salah. And if a person passed away with a musical instrument in his hand, on the day of judgment, he will be resurrected with the musical instrument in his hand. So a person should keep bringing this thought into mind. And don't let shaitan think, I am young, death will not come to me. No, death can come to a person anytime. And there are so many incidents of people who have died in the disobedience of Allah. So these are the first 2 points of the fourth, but we will suffice on this and we'll mention the next 2 points. The first and most important thing, make it a purpose that my life, the disobedience of Allah needs to end from my life. Any habitual forms of the disobedience of Allah, I need to stop. And I must force myself, where I sleep, I must repent. And for this, the first thing I need to do is regularly make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Whenever I can, then after salah, raising my hands and making dua. But apart from that, in my heart and mind. And secondly, regularly remember my death and the hereafter. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to empty our lives of the disobedience of Allah. I will begin by finishing with this point, that a person who empties his life of the disobedience of Allah, this is exactly what a wali and a special friend of Allah is. There is nothing more to being a wali and a special friend of Allah than emptying your life of the disobedience of Allah. When we say, oh, this person is a wali of Allah, special friend of Allah, then we think, you know, he's someone amazing, this is a rank which a normal person cannot reach. No, every person can become a wali of Allah. All it entails is, rid your life of the disobedience of Allah. And everything else, any other nawafit is a bonus. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to rid our lives of the disobedience of Allah and to become His true worshippers. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Even is requested, try to come regularly. Today, I was extremely tired. I was so tired that my maktab students told me that, Malisa, you went to sleep in the class. But I thought to myself that the program happens regularly. So this program happens every week, so it should happen this week as well, whether I am tired or not. So let us all make this attitude that I will attend this program regularly, whether I am tired or not. Yes, if you are busy and you are elsewhere, that is a different matter. But in fact, my request to anyone and everyone is that every person should hold fast to any program of an alim, of a person who he feels that this is reliable. If a person here wants to go to a program in another masjid, that is fine as well. But every person, so that the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the encouragement of deen, the understanding of deen keeps increasing. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.